Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure on this Friday, October 22nd, to welcome two guests to the podcast. Today we have reading for us Lauren and Jed Burrows. Thank you, Lauren and Jed, for joining the podcast.
New Testament reading today is Acts chapter 4, verse 32 through chapter 5, verse 11. Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold, and laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. Thus Joseph, who was also called by the apostles Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, a Levite, a native of Cyprus, sold a field that belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. But a man named Ananias, with his wife Sapphira, sold a piece of property, and with his wife's knowledge, he kept back for himself some of the proceeds and brought only a part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, "Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to man, but to God." When Ananias heard these words, he fell down and breathed his last, and great fear came upon all who heard of it. The young man rose and wrapped him up and carried him out and buried him. After an interval of about 3 hours, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter said to her, "Tell me whether you sold the land for so much." And she said, "Yes, for so much." But Peter said to her, "How is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out." Immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. When the young men came in, they found her dead, and they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. And great fear came upon the whole church and upon all who heard of these things.
Psalm 143, a Psalm of David. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my pleas for mercy. In your faithfulness, answer me in your righteousness. Enter not into judgment with your servant, for no one living is righteous before you. For the enemy has pursued my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me sit in darkness like those long dead. Therefore, my spirit faints within me. My heart within me is appalled. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all that you have done. I ponder the work of your hands. I stretch out my hands to you. My soul thirsts for you like a parched land. Answer me quickly, O Lord. My spirit fails. Hide not your face from me, lest I be like those who go down to the pit. Let me hear in the morning of your steadfast love, for in you I trust. Make me know the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul. Deliver me from my enemies, O Lord. I have fled to you for refuge. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground. For your name's sake, O Lord, preserve my life. In your righteousness, bring my soul out of trouble, and in your steadfast love, you will cut off my enemies, and you will destroy all the adversaries of my soul, for I am your servant. Esther chapter 9, verses 20 through 32. The Feast of Purim inaugurated. And Mordecai recorded these things and sent letters to all the Jews who were in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus, both near and far, obliging them to keep the 14th day of the month of Adar and also the 15th day of the same year by year, as the days on which the Jews got their relief from their enemies, and as the month that had been turned for them to sorrow into gladness and from mourning into a holiday, that they should make them days of feasting and gladness, days for sending gifts of food to one another and gifts to the poor. So the Jews accepted what they had started to do and what Mordecai had written to them. For Haman the Agite, the son of Hammedatha, the enemy of all the Jews, had plotted against the Jews to destroy them and had cast pur, that is, cast lots, to crush and to destroy them. But when it came before the king, he gave orders in writing that his evil plan that he had devised against the Jews should return on his own head, and that he and his son should be hanged on the gallows. Therefore, they called these days Purim, after the term pur. Therefore, because of all that was written in this letter, and of what they had faced in this matter, and of what had happened to them, the Jews firmly obligated themselves and their offspring and all who joined them, that without fail they would keep these 2 days according to what was written, and at the time appointed every year, that these days should be remembered and kept throughout every generation, in every clan, province, and city, that these days of Purim should never fall into disuse among the Jews, nor should the commemoration of these days cease among their descendants. Then Queen Esther, the daughter of Abihail, and Mordecai the Jew gave full written authority, confirming the second letter about Purim. Letters were sent to all the Jews, to the 127 provinces of the kingdom of Ahasuerus, in words of peace and truth, that these days of Purim should be observed at their appointed seasons, as Mordecai the Jew and Queen Esther obligated them, and as they had obligated themselves and their offspring with regard to their fasts and their lamenting. The command of Queen Esther confirmed these practices of Purim, and it was recorded in writing.
Thank you, Jed and Lauren, for joining the podcast today. I want to hear a little bit about you guys. How did you guys meet? And I know that you are newlywed, so I want to hear your romance story as well.
Jed and I met at Samford University in our first year of pharmacy school, and we had some mutual friends who kind of ended up blending into one large friend group. And after that first semester of school, we were just always together. We got along really well. We shared a sense of humor that most people probably don't appreciate as much as we do. But Jed was always the guy that you called if something happened, if you needed help, if you were scared to walk to your car at night. Not only would he talk to you on the phone, but he would probably just come to wherever you were and walk you to your car and make sure you got there safely. We graduated in 2011. Jed went to Texas. And I went back home to Jasper, and we have stayed in touch ever since. And then in the summer of 2019, I got a text message kind of out of nowhere, and we struck up just a really good, basically daily conversation. We went on our first date 12 years after we met in October of 2019. We got engaged a year after that in August, and we just got married in April. We'll have been married 6 months.
I have chill bumps thinking about that story. So exciting. I kind of jumped the gun on questions, though, because I know Jed, but Jed's been a member of our church for a while, or at least an active participant for a long while and a member for a couple of years. Jed, tell us a little bit about your family and then how you got to Birmingham and Mountain Brook Baptist.
So I grew up in Clay County, Alabama, Ashland. Lived there all my life. I'm an only child. Came to Samford for pharmacy school. Did undergraduate and pharmacy school there. Went to another church in the area. Met Wayne and Mary while they were at Beeson. Built a relationship there. They left. Went to y'all went to South Carolina for a year. And then when he came back, I started helping y'all with the youth group and then started attending shortly after that.
And we're so grateful for all the late nights that you spent on youth retreats and helping us disciple kids. And now, Lauren, we see you ministering alongside Jed here. But your story is a little different. Tell us about where you grew up and your family.
So I'm originally from Cuba, Alabama, which is 5 miles from York, where Dr. Dortch grew up. I'm probably one of the few people at Mountain Brook who gets a visual when he tells stories about his parents' store or where he went to high school. I'm from that same area. I love being in a place where the pastor can also appreciate where I'm from. I grew up in a pastor's home. My dad has been in ministry my entire life. And after we finished our time of ministry in Cuba, we moved to Jasper, Alabama, and that's where they have been ever since.
I want to ask both of you, we'll start with Lauren, how did you come to faith, and tell me about that journey?
I came to just a saving knowledge of Christ at Vacation Bible School when I was 9 years old. Vacation Bible School has and always will hold a very special place in my heart for that reason. I grew in the faith thanks to just being blessed to grow up in a Christian home. My dad is probably one of the most steadfast men that I know. My mom is incredibly faithful and a woman who loves the Word of God. So it's been a blessing to grow up under their influence and see how faith has shaped their lives and brought them to the place where they are now, and how to grow not only just as a young woman, but also as a wife, to learn to mirror what we read in the Bible to make it our real life.
Now, I want to hear a little more before we go to Jed's story. You have a sister. Tell me about her.
Yes, I have one younger sister. Her name is Chelsea, and she is my best friend in the world. We look and act nothing alike. So when we were in college, nobody knew we were related. They just thought we were best friends. We lived together from her sophomore year of college until Jed and I got married. We kicked her out. She found a house of her own, and she's doing really well, but it's been a little bit of separation anxiety for both of us. She's an educator, and I don't know that I've ever met anyone who is more called to their vocation than my sister is.
Okay, Jed, tell me a little bit about your journey of faith.
I grew up in the church. I was in Bible school as well when I professed faith. Baptized in Lionville Baptist Church, and then have just continued to work and grow into what I believe and why I believe it, and working through those things.
Now, I've met your parents too as well, Jed, so I want to hear a little bit more about them.
My parents are great. Would not be where I am without them. They are steadfast, pretty even-keeled, so I get that from them. But just tremendous influences on serving and looking out for people and just being there for when people need it.
In our time together, I have learned that you guys love podcasts. Jed, tell me about a podcast that you appreciate.
So kind of two main ones I have. One's pretty dry and one's kind of fun. So I've got one that's called the Revolutions Podcast. And so it kind of breaks down revolutions throughout the years. So English Civil War, American Revolution, French Revolution. I listen to those. Lauren likes to sleep hearing those in the car. But another one that we both listen to is called the Nate Land Podcast. It's by a comedian called Nate Bargatze. And he and a couple of other comedians just kind of find random topics and discuss them with zero knowledge of what they're talking about. And it's pretty fun.
One thing that I would love for you to tell us about, Lauren, is your passion for medical missions in Honduras. Tell me how you got involved with a medical missions program, and then maybe about your most recent visit there.
I have a good friend and her mother who have been to Honduras multiple times over the last 20 years, and they've built a relationship with the Carolina Honduras Health Foundation, who owns a clinic in a remote village called Limon in the Colon province of Honduras. In August of 2016, we had several teams that dropped out of service and they needed an emergency team to go and serve the people. So on August 1st, I got a phone call asking if I would be interested in going. And on August 26th, we got on a plane and I went to Honduras for the first time. It changed my life in every way. I met a people that I fell in love with. I just received a gifting from the Lord with the language and have continued to serve there since 2016. I've met some amazing people, some of whom have now had their faith become sight. And going back in memory and in honor of those people has been a joy. We were able to set up a scholarship fund in memory of a doctor who served with us who died of COVID in October of 2020. And so this past July, I was able to show Jed for the first time my favorite view in the world from the back porch of the Carolina Clinic in Limon. And he was able to meet people that he had only heard stories about. And they had a wedding cake waiting for us when we got there. They were able to watch our ceremony online and then celebrate with us when we got there. So it's an amazing adventure. It is a beautiful place with beautiful people who just need help. And we're there to provide free primary care. I've gotten to help deliver babies to women who have never had medical attention when they've had any of their other children. I've gotten to wait with nervous fathers in the waiting room and just assure them that everything was going to be fine and help them take care of their other children they had brought so they wouldn't leave them at home alone. And there's an orphanage there that we have worked with. And over the years, we have seen so many of the children come to faith. We've gotten to baptize a few of them in the river. And it's my favorite place in the world.
So tell me a little bit more. You do medical clinics and then you share the gospel in the evening, or how does it work? How do you incorporate the gospel with your mission?
So we do medical clinics starting at 8 a.m. and we go usually until about 4 o'clock in the afternoon or just whenever the patients stop coming. During that time, they're waiting in tremendous lines to be able to see a medical provider. So we have members of our team who stand outside with them and just share with them their story, how they came to be here, what the gospel means to them. We have coloring books for children that have Bible stories in them. We read with them from the Jesus Storybook Bible. We have a Spanish version that we keep in the clinic. And we just build relationships with people while they're in the waiting room.
Wow. Tell me the story about the gentleman you mentioned earlier who was a translator for your group that died tragically of COVID this past year. I've heard this story before, but I think it would be a real blessing to those listening to the podcast how he came to faith in Christ.
In May of 2017, we were searching for one more doctor to join our team. Our team likes to use local Honduran doctors, makes the people feel more at ease, and it cuts down on your need for a translator. So we had a young man named Eduardo who was a local doctor who joined our team and just got to witness how we were serving and why we were serving. During that trip, at night, we would go to the local orphanage and we had Bible study on the front porch with the kids. We did need a translator for those evenings, and Eduardo loved kids, and so he gladly volunteered to come. He was my translator when I taught. I taught from the book of John mostly that week, and Eduardo was preaching the gospel, something he didn't necessarily believe, to a group of children who needed to hear it. We left and went back home. We came back to Honduras in October of that year, of 2017, and Eduardo came with us again. He couldn't wait to get back to Limon and serve the people there. And again, we went back to the orphanage, and again, Eduardo was my translator, and he was again giving truth that he needed to hear, as well as the kids. On our third night, after we got back from the orphanage from having Bible study with the kids, I went to bed. It was pretty late. And Eduardo stayed up talking with another group member of ours. His name is Chuck. And a few hours later, somebody came into my room, our team leader, Miss Lou. She's like, "Lauren, Chuck told me to come wake you up. He said you wouldn't be mad." And they were down in the waiting area, which is part of the basement of the clinic. And we knelt right there in the waiting room. And Eduardo prayed first in English and then in Spanish to receive Christ. We went back to the orphanage the next night. And we were preaching and teaching from the very end of John, where it says, "And Jesus did many more miracles than this. If we were to write them all, the world would not contain enough ink." And we shared about how Suyapa and Ingrid, who were saved the year before, and Kaler, who was saved the year before that, and then Eduardo, who was saved just the night before, these were all these unwritten miracles that John talks about. That Christmas, Eduardo came to America and stayed with Chuck's family. And then on New Year's Eve, my dad baptized him in our church. It was the best way to look into a new year. 3 years after he prayed to receive Christ, and Eduardo went into the intensive care unit at the hospital where he had worked, and he passed away. But we mourn him, and we miss him. And it was so hard to be back in that clinic and back even in that country and know that he wouldn't be there with us. But we rejoice because we know that we'll see him again.
Thank you both for your ministry at Mount Brook Baptist and for the ways that you have encouraged us today on the podcast. Jed, would you close our time together with prayer?
Dear Lord, thank you for this opportunity to read your word and to discuss what you have meant to us, Father. Pray that you would take this reading and allow people to hear it and digest it and incorporate it in their lives, allow it to change us for the better, and for us to go out and do what it says. Thank you for all your many blessings. Pray that you forgive us where we fail you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.